The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is one of those beloved gospel texts about the lost and found. I think we can all find good news in here. But I just want to lift up a few things for us. The stage is set for us in this gospel last week when Jesus was giving instruction how to have a banquet. When you serve a banquet, don't just invite your rich neighbors. Invite those who can't afford to come. Invite those in the streets. Bring everybody in. Which leads into today's gospel, where Jesus is welcoming sinners. Now, not just welcoming. I don't know if you remember, but in the old RSV, the text used to say Jesus received sinners. And I used to think that was a neat way to just kind of say, kind of like a king who would receive his humble servants and they would kneel and bow before him and grovel. And it was a very kind of, there's lots of distance between the king and those peasants who come, those sinners who come. But the word here is Jesus receives them, he welcomes them, he embraces them. And he eats with them. Just like that banquet story from last week. Jesus doesn't just keep the sinner at arm's length. He welcomes them in and embraces them. Which really annoys scribes and Pharisees. Gotta keep this in mind. Jesus is constantly annoying the scribes and Pharisees, the ones that think and have it all together, the ones who by all Old Testament reason are in with God. Jesus eats with sinners. He welcomes them. Well, it raises a couple questions. So Jesus responds with a couple parables. Jesus changes the language of the argument by telling these two parables about the lost sheep and the lost coins. Jesus changes the argument. The Pharisees are talking about sinners versus the righteous. And in their day, in their time, in their religion, you couldn't be both. As Lutherans, we have a word for that. We call it, you know, saint and sinner at the same time. So we're kind of comfortable knowing that we're both and. But that back then, they, like the Apostle Paul, couldn't imagine that there was anything other than righteous or unrighteous. So Jesus changes the language, and it's not about sinners versus righteous anymore, it's about the lost and the found. And who gets to decide who is the lost and who is the found? It's not the Pharisees. I'll give you a little tip there. Jesus starts with this story about the lost sheep. And you know, you can mold this story over for a lifetime and not squeeze out all the grace that's in it. Because you have the story of the 99 sheep and the one that gets lost. And Jesus says, which one of you having 100 sheep, losing one, doesn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost till he finds it? I wish John and Patty were here. Because from a farming perspective, from a ranching perspective, there's not a rational rancher in the world that would go chasing the one if it meant leaving the other 99 behind. Jesus is the good shepherd, but Jesus is the irrational shepherd. Okay? The other thing about sheep, and this comes from my farm background, you never have one lost sheep. Because if one strays, what happens? There's this great example. It's a terrible story, but it's a great example. A few years back in Istanbul, in Turkey, there's a news story that hit the AP wires. Apparently, first one sheep jumped to its death off a cliff, then stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd to gaze while they had breakfast. And they watched as nearly 1,500 others followed, each leaping off the same cliff. Real stuff. In the end, 450 dead animals lay on top of one another in a billowy white pile. This is AP. And those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and the fall more cushioned. Sheep are not smart. And the 99 who were left behind weren't any smarter than the one that wandered away. Okay, that's just the base. Because I want to make it clear. In God's eyes, there's none of us better than another. There's none of us less in need of Jesus. Pastor David Householder puts it this way. If you think about good people, you know, on a good meter, because most of us aren't really bad people, but you put people on a continuum, and let's say the best person you've ever heard of in the world is 100, and the worst person in the world is a 1. And each level of goodness, this is kind of like Lilo and Stitch stuff, each level of goodness has a step. And let's say, you know, 100 is fantastic, 1 is horrible. 100 is Mother Teresa, or maybe she'd be like a 95 even. And at the bottom level would be, you know, Hitler and Stalin and Jeffrey Dahmer and all of those, okay? Householder's question is, on what step would you have to be at in order to not need Jesus to save you? Correct. There is none righteous enough to save themselves. The Apostle Paul, in our letter to Timothy today, said, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Now, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you also know that he worked really hard to keep the law. He really worked to keep those Jewish laws. But he says, I need Jesus as much as anyone possibly could. I need Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying in these parables. Jesus came because we all, in our own ways, are lost. And like the Pharisees, sometimes we get distracted. And we think that there's one group of sinners that are worse than all the other sinners, and maybe God could just neglect those sinners. Because we're better than that. So God loves us more. No! That's not how it works. We all get lost in different ways. What things have you been lost in? What things are you lost in? You know, sometimes we get lost in worry. We forget which direction Jesus is calling us to go. We forget that we're safe in God's will. We get lost in grief. We just can't think about anything other than what we're grieving. We get lost in anger. Like, you know, I'll get back to you later, God, but I'm really angry about this right now. You ever done that? I think most of us have. We get lost in busyness, lost in fatigue, lost in ignorance, lost in addictions, lost in debt, lost in folly, lost in illness, lost in work, lost in loneliness, lost in self-doubt. Here's a new one, wouldn't have occurred to me 5 years ago, even lost in social media. We all have a lostness about us. And on a range from 1 to 100, it could be anywhere in that range. Jesus comes to the lost. That is our good news today. Jesus comes to find the lost because he knows we are all in our own way lost. The only ones who can't be found are the ones who don't acknowledge their lostness. I think God even has a way to get their attention. But Jesus was saying the ones who were most lost were the Pharisees. They were lost in their blindness. They were lost in their self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is not the same as God-righteousness. God-righteousness is being found by the shepherd. Turning our ways and turning back to the shepherd. This Bible story is just so wonderful in that it gives us the key. Do you want to create rejoicing in heaven? Repent. Or turn away from whatever it is you're lost in and turn toward Jesus. You want to see angels dancing and rejoicing? Repent. Turn away from those things that distract us from loving God and loving neighbor. David Anderson kind of sums it up this way. He says, maybe in this parable, is a call. The problem is we're often too perfectly happy to bleat in the wilderness with the other 99. Ignoring the dangers around us, ignoring the shepherd who is looking for us. There's comfort in the herd that doesn't know it's lost. But the shepherd is missing. To find the shepherd, the sheep must leave the fold. To find the shepherd, the sheep must leave and get utterly and profoundly lost. Find the one lost sheep, and we will find the shepherd. Where one is, the other is there also. If one is in the presence of the lost sheep, one is in the presence of God. Think about that. If one is in the presence of the lost sheep, if we are out among the lost sheep, we are in the presence of God, because that is where God is to be found. To find the shepherd, the sheep must be among, one of, in solidarity with the 99 that have forgotten. Those the 99 have ignored. Those that the 99 have judged. Those the 99 have left for dead and believed not worth the effort. For too long, we've gotten it backward. We do not bring the lost sheep to God. Rather, in going out to the lost sheep, they bring us to God. And so we can let go of those things that divide us. We can let go of pointing fingers at people that we think shouldn't be trying to approach Jesus because they're just too far gone or they're too different than us. We don't judge. That's not our job. That's God's job. God's will is that we all find our way back, find ourselves in the presence of the Good Shepherd, the one who calls us and loves us and fondly desires that we turn away from the things that hold us back and turn again toward Him. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Amen.